This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
It is Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. Hour number two. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Barton Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. Get us on ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the app, your smart speaker. And as Bart said, you got the pen right on your head right there.
I'm a guy. Look, I'm on TV now.
That's good. You were talking to me with the pen stuck on your head. Right. And I was like,
Dan, I only have a couple seconds.
Right. We got to get
with
moving.
My food, Diana with my
Rossini
foolery.
Joins
my
us foolery. Right now on the Goodyear Hotline. And Diane, I mean, I don't know if you heard our intro, but is there anything harder in radio than that intro, if you did get to hear it?
It's funny you bring that up. I was thinking as I was waiting to hop on here, that's just like the way to get the day going. And I've recently sort of fallen in love with Philly just because of the person I married who's from there. And I hated that city, absolutely hated it before I met him. So now I've actually checked out the Rocky statue. Mm-hmm. I've hung out down there and I've grown to love Philadelphia.
Wow. Okay.
Well, have you fell out of full-blown love with all the slander that's going on with Devontae Smith about his size, talking about reportedly that he put some weights in his pants to try and weigh more?
He's 6 foot, listed at 6 foot 166. I was that in sixth grade.
It's so funny. So as a woman, you don't really get or understand, or at least I'll speak for myself. I don't really get male weight very easily. If it was a woman weighing herself, I'd get it. But I'm like, oh, that seems pretty heavy. And I actually am talking about this today on SportsCenter. So I called a couple offensive coordinators and a head coach just to get an idea of, like, is this really bad? Is the height an issue? And nobody said height was an issue. They're like, listen, he's got the effort to block. He's not a great blocker, but he's long and his length is actually really good for a guy of his size. The issue is his weight. And that's going to be the problem. But you know, it's interesting. Whenever I try to gather information and evaluation, people are pretty honest if they know I'm not putting their name to it. So I appreciated some of the thoughts that they had about him, just really praising his intellect. I had one excellent head coach who's a winning head coach say, this guy is an excellent football player. So I think the weight thing is something we may obsess over, Bart, and we may be like, oh, my God, how is this guy even be able to get out there and do anything? But just from talking to people watching him, it seems he's got the skill sets that's important, the toughness. His great catch ratio. I'm reading off my notes right here, things that they said about him. Basically just saying he doesn't really take a lot of hits because he's smart about it. So the weight thing, possibly an issue, but he's a smart kid.
Yeah, well, you know, his comp is Marvin Harrison, but Marvin was like 190, even though we looked at him like he was small. Where does he rank, or where has he fallen, if on any team's board, as far as like 1, 2, 3, his ranking as far as best receivers available?
Yeah, that's where I don't sense a fall. And that's what's so tough about these mock drafts. And we know that Mel and Todd do just, you know, they do a lot of work on this and they talk to so many people. And I think people forget that too. It's just, this isn't just, you know, Mel sitting back watching film all day in his basement eating pudding or pumpkin pie, whatever it is that he prefers.
Oh, he loves pumpkin pie.
I like the image of pudding. That's a better one.
I know, it's like the lamest dessert ever. Sorry, Mel. I adore him too. He's tougher than pudding, but he's having really good conversations with smart people. I know Todd for certain, because I've run into conversations where I'm calling someone and they're like, hey, or I'm on the phone with someone like, hey, McShay's calling, I gotta call you back. I know they talk to really smart people, and you know, seeing these mock drafts of theirs and you see some of these falls. This is the time, guys, where it's just so much BS. It's so many rumors. So I don't get the sense. I can just speak from who I talk to and teams that I know are interested in him. This is a guy that he's going to go quick.
Okay. And he should. We're talking with Diana Rossini on the Goodyear Hotline, Barton Hunt, Alan Hunt, Bart Scott, and I paused there dramatically because I was just checking something because I want to make sure I had the details of a question I wanted to ask you next. What we saw is that you do have some new rules that owners have approved for this coming season, but a little bit of an expansion of replay, but not to the point of the eye in the sky idea, right, Diana? And
exactly.
In sports, though, it feels like we are eventually heading there, aren't we? Wouldn't you think? And if there's a sport that's going to be the first to do it, to have that official that is eye in the sky, that if there was a mistake made, I can fix it pretty quickly by just buzzing down and let's get this thing fixed. I know the owners don't want it now, but do you feel like it's eventually going to happen for the NFL?
I do. I can speak to the sense I get now, which there really isn't a lot of faith in the replay process. You know, teams don't want to see flags on the field in replay. They just don't. They tried that. We saw it. It was a disaster. It's not working. And anytime you talk replay with any coach or anyone that is out on the field, they just complain about the amount of time this takes. So, you know, I do think the ideas that they're putting in place to potentially fix some of these by having New York make a quick decision, not calling penalties, but basically, you know, there's other things that they could call mm-hmm. by having New York just look at it real quick and can just be a quick decision. Holding, yeah, that right. was holding. That's the way to get it done. So I 100% agree, or I'm with you in thinking that will be the future.
All right, now we getting back to the draft, because we've asked everybody, and the answers have always had the same kind of stammering at the beginning, so I want to see how smooth you are with your answer. We've asked Jeff okay. Darlington, we've asked Mel, how many other people, Bart, have we asked the same question? And it's
all
basically
of them.
This.
All of them, Diana. Whoever you can think of, all of them.
Everybody now believes Mac Jones
Who?
Is the pick. Everybody believes, at three, Mac Jones. Everybody's saying, that's what I'm hearing, that's what I'm hearing. So when I say everybody believes, I mean the information you're getting is that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Right? Even Mort now is saying 90th percentile. But when I ask you, Diana, that on draft night, when you're sitting there and the third pick is handed to Roger Goodell, are you certain it's going to be Mac Jones?
Well, first of all, Jeff Darlington gets everything from me, so you can't really go by him. His credibility is just based on me texting him all the answers. not true. He's super plugged in and talks to every single human being in the NFL. It's incredible, his ability to do that. But I am going to go with my colleagues, not because I'm afraid to go against it. I'm going to go with my information. And I feel very comfortable that's the quarterback that the 49ers have their eye on. Again, we're talking in New York here where, you know, Daniel Jones came out of freaking nowhere. Mm-hmm. Six there, you know. And I remember hearing it the day before from someone who is great with information, and he hasn't been great with me. But he was so he's like, you have to report this. And I wouldn't do it. And after they went with Daniel, he's like, I told you we were doing it. Wow. I was like, man.
But Diana,
and I was so mad about it, but, you know, I couldn't trust it.
Here's the crazy thing, Diana, because I feel like the whole Mac Jones ascension has been like the Kardashians calling the paparazzi on themselves and having people to show up. Because really, when you look at the 49ers, you look at Todd and you look at Mel's mock draft before the 49ers moved up to three, he had Mac Jones fall into either them or had him fall into to New England. So I feel like it's all manufactured, because if you look at what the draft was before San Francisco moved up, where was he going to go if he didn't go second? He wasn't going to go to Miami, and if the Falcons aren't involved in it, he wasn't going to go there. He wasn't going to go to the Bengals. He wasn't going to go to the Dolphins. He wasn't going to go to the Lions. The first spot that he would have been able to go to was Carolina, but, well, we know with the Sam Darnold pick that he wouldn't go to Sam Darnold. So I feel like the San Francisco 49ers got spooked because they heard that Mac Jones was ascending up people's draft boards, and they made a move that I feel like they didn't have to move, because they would have been able to get him anyway, and they would have to give up so much less compensation. Now I think they're going to put too many expectations on Mac Jones, because if you're picked at three, much like much like Danny Dimes picked at six, the expectations are so much higher on this kid, and they're putting pressure on themselves and the kid when they didn't have to. But that's not my question. That was my statement.
That's a statement?
I don't think they're Kardashianing it, if we can make that an adverb or a verb in general. I believe, first of all, I've covered Kyle Shanahan since his days in Washington. And, you know, he's got a lot of negative parts about him. Not a lot. There's things that are difficult about him. But the one thing I've always appreciated, he's transparent. He's a straight shooter with information. I watch all of his press conferences during the season just to keep an eye on obviously the Niners during the year. And he's not afraid to really speak his mind about how he feels about injuries, situations, rules. He shares. He may not be the most interesting soundbite, but my point of sharing that is if he's telling the media this, if he's pretty honest with the media in these pressers, I can tell you behind the scenes, he's got great relationships with a lot of people who do this stuff and a lot of analysts, it makes a lot of sense. And obviously, let's just talk from a football element. This is also the same coach who is in love with Kirk Cousins more than any quarterback I've ever seen in my life in terms of a coach and a player. Well, maybe Sean Payton and Taysom Hill, but put that aside. I hear about Kyle wanting to bring Kirk Cousins back or to his offense or back to his offense again.
Minnesota would give him away
constantly.
In a second.
Kill. Amazing. He's 2021. I'm like, just let it go. Let it go. So there's just a lot about Mac Jones, and that's another thing. After I first got a little tip about the Niners' seriousness about Mac, I always just like to challenge organizations and just see, like, are they smart doing this? So just calling around to different coaches in their division, the feedback I got was that Mac Jones actually is that impressive. And, maybe they want him to take him, but it's just – the reviews are really good, and it just sounds like it fits. So, it's adding up, guys. It's adding up. And look, I hope you replay all of these interviews if they go with Justin, or they decide to just go a completely different position, even though we know that they're going quarterback because they said it. But so, I think this is just one of those, the way we would feel about the number one overall. I think everyone feels pretty good about it.
And we always keep receipts. It's radio. That's why we do this. Diana, we know you got to run. We thank you for joining us. We appreciate
you. So gracious.
You.
Thank you.
And a week away, and then we'll know for sure. Take care now.
Oh, I can't wait. Can this get here already, guys? Thank you so much. I can't wait to talk to you after this. We can talk all about
it. Yes, absolutely. Break it down. Thank you, Diana. And she said can't wait, so you're going to have to charge her for that.
No, she get it for free $99. I let her swagger jack me for everyone.
Diana Rossini on the Goodyear Hotline. She was giving us the Straight Talk, birthday, Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. It's funny what she said, though, right, about how she still hears that Kyle would want to bring back Kirk Cousins.
That's dumb.
And isn't that what Mac Jones is the comp? Yeah. Isn't that the comp you've made?
Yes, but that's dumb.
But that's the comp you made, though.
I get it.
Now explains the interest in him.
What did he win?
He's just cheaper.
What did he win with Kirk Cousins?
But he's cheaper.
What did he win with Jimmy G? Like, bro, get over it, bro. Like, you trying to win. The game has changed. Evolve your offense. Why would you want – listen, right now, if he called Minnesota right now, he said, we'll take the salary cap off and give you the number three pick – They would drive Kirk Cousins because they wouldn't want him to get hurt.
Well,
going
it's
up
also
the
money. Remember, you're getting him on a rookie deal versus Kirk Cousins, which is that huge contract. So, I can understand that part of the equation. I just thought it was funny that you're the one that made that comparison, and that now makes a lot of sense.
I don't get it. I don't get why he's such in love. But listen, this is going to either make him or break him. Either he's going to be a genius or he's going to be the royal ass. I guarantee you that. Or can I say donkey? Whichever one I have to say.
One way or another.
Okay,
you said it.
Yeah, dump
fine.
It if it's
yeah.
not.
Yeah, no, we don't have to worry about
because,
that.
Because, listen, you moved all the way
all
up.
All I have to do is just go.
You moved all the way up to get a guy that was going to fall to you. Because listen, before that, he wasn't going to Jacksonville. He wasn't going to the Jets.
Right.
He wasn't going to the 49ers. They're in love with Trey Lance. So he's not going to the Bengals. They got Burrow. He's not going to the Dolphins because they have Tua. He wasn't going to go.
He just said the 49ers.
I mean, no. He wasn't going to Miami. Because Miami was in that spot before the trade was made.
Right.
He wasn't going to the Falcons. He wasn't going to the Bengals. He wasn't going to go to the Lions who got Jared Goff. So what are you doing, bro? You just gave up two first-round draft picks
but you don't
and a
know
three
this.
For a guy that would have failed to you. And if
you
he
don't know that.
And if he didn't fall to you, you would have got Justin Fields. Like, you got to have a guy on your board and say, because guess what? Next year, when you don't have a first-round draft pick. Or the year after that, you don't have a first-round draft pick. Then guess what's going to happen? All those young players, Deebo Samuels, all those
you're
young guys, all those guys, Deebo Samuel, all those people that he got, you know what I'm saying? All those people that they got to start paying eventually now, right? So you only have 2 years. Yeah, you don't have to pay the young quarterback, but guess who you have to pay? All that young talent, that's why they traded Buckner, right? Mm-hmm. They got Solomon Thomas. Mm-hmm. He didn't turn out to be the player that they expected him to be. They're going to have to pay Bosa in a little bit. You know what I'm saying? They're going to have to pay Deebo Samuel. You're going to have to pay a nuke before you know it. You know what I'm saying? Ayuk. You know what I mean? So, like, look at that. So now you're wasting time when you could have got a true guy that you could help win, right? They could have. I think they would have been much better and a much better contender if they would have been the ones to trade for Sam Darnold. If they're going to give up two ones, they should have traded that for Sam Darnold.
Look, this is a draft. This draft is now really starting to build up to that point where this is one of those where you say, well, the most impactful draft we've seen in a long time. It could be now.
They could have gave up one first-round draft
because of the quarterbacks that are available. And we are giving them maybe a lot more credit for their potential than really what we've seen. And we're trusting a lot of the eyes of people off of a pandemic year where not everybody played. This could be an incredibly impactful draft, and it might not be in a positive way. We will certainly find out. Dallin Hahn, Bart Scott, Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio. No, 888-SAY-ESPN. Okay. I'm just resetting.
Okay.
Reminding people what they're listening to. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And I want to get back to some calls. Because we do have some calls on the draft. And again, if you have a message for your team as they're a week away from the draft, what is your message to your team? 888-SAY-ESPN. We go to, let's see, Sal's in Connecticut. Hey, Sal.
Hey, what's going on, Alan?
Hey, Bart.
I got a question for you guys. So, Alan, you were saying that, you know, you don't agree with, you know, the teams that, you know, that to get the number one pick if they do bad. Like, what else would you suggest for them to do? I mean, like, obviously, you know, the team that's coming first shouldn't get the number one.
Yeah, no, I understand the idea of it. It's that the teams that are struggling need help, right? But I also look at it also from, but where is your motivation to just be better? You get what I'm saying? Like, a lot of times franchises that you hire, like, look at the Jets.
Process.
The Jets, they hired bad people. They hired a bad coach. It's a mistake. You screwed up, and your reward is the number two pick. Like, you know, like sometimes it just feels like it's wrong.
So you'd rather be like a lottery?
I don't know why. Also, you have really talented players and you send them to some of these bad franchises. The NBA does it too, where you just go to a bad team.
Well,
maybe that can affect how good you're going to be.
Well, they got no choice, I guess.
You don't.
Get better. They got no choice to get better if you don't get good players.
But look, and what happens in Europe is, of course, the rich teams just buy the good players, which
right. That's
baseball. The Yankees should do that to the Royals all the time. So is there a right answer? I don't know. It's a good question, Sal. I wish I had a better answer, but I just look at it from a business standpoint. You're basically telling a company you could fail, absolutely fail, and you'll actually succeed by failing. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that you are really bad at what you do, and we're going to now give you a really good player to help make up for the fact that you suck at your job. That doesn't make sense.
But you know a lot of teams.
And then you're losing at the end of the year because it's better for you to lose. Remember what we were doing with the Jets and the Jaguars?
Yeah.
Like, can the Jets lose enough games so they'll get the number one pick? Mm-hmm. What kind of mentality is that you are selling to your fan base? It should be an urgency. We need to win because if we don't, they're going to kick us down to the XFL, and we can't do that.
Well, obviously, the Jets weren't paying attention because they won games at the end. So, clearly, that wasn't their game plan.
Yeah.
Jacksonville
Thank
won
you, Greg
just
Williams.
Enough. Right. When you think about it, though, like every once in a while, you get these teams that are high up at the 1 and 2 that may just have a bad season, right? Like, even though, like, you know, a team like San Francisco shouldn't be picking 12th. Right, they just had an array of injuries.
12th is different.
No, but I'm saying they had an array of injuries.
Number two, number three.
You think about when Peyton Manning went down and they got the number one pick.
I get it.
That was a good team. And so, like, you had those systems fair, but sometimes bad teams, good teams, and good organizations have bad seasons.
I understand this isn't my argument is not a perfect argument because you're giving me those kind of examples. Or you have some teams that might have just had a bad luck injury that cost them, like David Robinson getting hurt,
and
the Spurs, you know, ended up having a terrible record as a result, and they get Tim Duncan.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, I know it's not a perfect argument, but there is a part of me that does see in sports what we're seeing, this new generation of high draft picks and collecting draft picks. This is a new thing now, where losing is good.
Yeah.
The NBA lottery, Donnie Walsh always called it the convention of losers. You don't want to be there. You really don't, because it means you had a bad season.
But
now everybody wants to be there.
Yeah, but look at all the guys, like when you look at recent history, like when I look at the top 10, these aren't the usual suspects. I mean, I think the Bengals are working their way out. If they can get a little bit more help.
They had one pick last year.
Yeah, but if they can get a little bit more help, the Dolphins are much better. Remember, the Dolphins were always up there. Now the Dolphins, you don't anticipate the Dolphins being there for a long time.
You better get out of there. You've had enough top picks.
Right. I mean, but you look at the Panthers. The Panthers won't stay there. The Broncos don't
know. How do we know?
We know the Falcons not going to stay there. They always have – they up and down. They like the stock market, you know, so they don't stay there. The Jets are the team that, you know, currently – they're usually –
the Jets booked, and Giants have been in the top 10, like –
yeah, they're usually booked at number six. They're usually booked at number six for, like, the last decade.
Right.
But, you know, you anticipate them getting out. And, I mean, I love the movement. I think I can't wait to see the excitement, the movement up and down the board, because I think the draft really starts at four. And the question is, if San Francisco takes Mac Jones, then where, oh, where would Justin Fields go if the Falcons don't take him? That means he can drop out of the top 10 or possibly to the 10. What team outside of the 10 is going to come up to get him?
Yes.
Because they're not going to let him sit there. But we haven't even talked about Trey Lance. So we're talking about if that happens and somebody moves up to get him, then that means Trey Lance could fall right in New England's lap. And New England, with the offseason that they had, can fall, mess around and get the guy with one of the highest ceilings. And what would that division be like with a guy like Trey Lance, Josh Allen, Zach Wilson, and Tua Tagovailoa? You talk about excitement for a division with a bunch of young guns. I think right now the quality of quarterbacks that are coming into the league are becoming great, and some of the guys that we thought we put out for dead, like Sam Darnold, can revive themselves and show that they're a great quarterback. So I think the game is in a good place because I love the quality and the depth. Like guys like Marcus Mariota are sitting on the bench backing up. Guys like Teddy Bridgewater are backing people up. You know, I know we got QB1, and that kind of messes up the whole argument. QB1 or the QB2, or what they call it? OB1, whatever they call them out there in Chicago, Andy Dalton.
QB1.
You know what I mean? But, you know, you look at the movement that's out there, man. So I think, you know, it's going to be exciting to see all the moves. The draft day moves. Zach Ertz is still out there. Orlando Brown Jr. is still out there. Guys are going to be making moves for players because they can't trust the type of the depth at this draft. When you get to the middle, they don't know. Because a lot of guys opted out and there's not a lot of film on it. I'm excited, man. I'm excited.
No,
we're 1 week away. It's time to go.
And Kyle points out, which is, you're right, is the Dolphins, they got number three from Houston, remember,
right,
the trade. So it's not like they were bad and they got the number three pick. It's like they actually made a really good, really smart trade.
They control the draft for the next 2 years.
And ended up getting there right. So that's also a way you can move up in the draft, to just be smart. But I just, like I said, I just feel like, you know, I'm trying to come up with a better solution. I can't, but I just feel like there's no urgency in some franchises. At the end of a season, you just decide, no, it's better to lose. And I just, what kind of message is that to send in competitive sports? I don't get it. All right. Audio files coming up. People can argue with me. You can argue with me on that, because you have every right to, because I don't have a perfect argument, but I do know what I see. And what I see is a generation now believing that losing is a good thing. And how is that ever something you would ever want in competitive sports? I don't get it. Meanwhile, we'll get audio files coming. We got your calls coming as well. And Bart has this. Get out of my shot.
I was making sure. I was whitening you out, making sure that.
You whited me out. Do I need to be whited out anymore? Bart has this from ZipRecruiter.
Recent data shows that out of all the female-owned businesses, it is estimated that 1 in 3 are moms. CEO and founder Talia Goldstein is one such mompreneur. She needs to hire several matchmakers a month for her personalized matchmaking company, so she uses ZipRecruiter. Their technology helps her find the right people for her job quickly. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate within the first day. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Bart. That's ZipRecruiter.com/BART. Back with your calls after this. Tell Alan how you really feel.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the app, ESPN app, of course, your smart speaker, all that stuff. So what we're going to do here, by the way, because the show has moved by so quickly, Bart, I think we're going to have to just, we're going to call an audible You all right with that?
Omaha.
Yeah, I think we're going to audible here because there's so much more that we need to get to, and audio files today is going to have to be preempted for other headlines and things that we need to discuss. And this is something I do feel like is something we need to discuss. It's Barton Hahn. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier, help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. So in lieu of audio files, let's discuss something involving LeBron James. And I know earlier I referenced the tweet that he put out about the Knicks and saying how the league is just better when the Knicks are good. And that's a nice thing. But he took to Twitter about something else that I do think we have to discuss. Now, he deleted a tweet with a photo. Now, you know, and it was amazing the timing of this. But on Wednesday, just shortly after the tweet was from Wednesday. My head is spinning right now. Right after the verdict came down.
George Floyd trial.
Yes. Thank you for finishing my sentence. Footprints. There was another police shooting involving police and a young black woman.
In Columbus.
Yeah. Makia Bryant was 16 years old. This is in Columbus, Ohio, right? And it was a chaotic scene where Columbus police arrived
to a call.
And body cam photos show, she had a knife in her hand.
Well, the police call said that it was someone out here stabbing people, right? So that's the scene, and that's what the instructions that the oncoming officers are under, right? So, you know, they get out and you look up and it's a fight. And it's not just one or two people fighting. It's like four or five people fighting in different parts.
You watched the video.
Yeah, I watched it. Right. And that's why context matters.
Okay, well, and with that in mind, so LeBron took to Twitter on Wednesday with a picture of the officer who ended up shooting Bryant, the girl, and the officer who's white is named Nicholas Reardon. And he had a picture of him, and then the caption with the picture said, "You're next, hashtag accountability," along with an hourglass emoji. He has since deleted that tweet and responded with a series of tweets where he said, "Anger does any of us any good." I think he meant doesn't.
Yeah.
"And that includes myself." He said, "Gathering all the facts and educating does, though. My anger is still here from what happened that little girl," I guess to that little girl. "My sympathy for her family and may justice prevail."
Right.
And then he added, "I'm so damn tired of seeing black people killed by police. I took the tweet down because it's being used to create more hate. This isn't about one officer. It's about the entire system. And they always use our words to create more racism. I'm so desperate for more accountability," he said.
Yep.
Now, I'll let you give your thoughts in a second because mine are pretty quick. Now, first and foremost, the Fraternal Order of Police sent out a tweet responding to LeBron, saying with his vast resources and influence, he should educate himself and frankly has a responsibility to do so on the facts before weighing in. "This is disgraceful and extremely reckless. The officer saved a young girl's life. No amount of gaslighting will change that fact." So now what you're seeing is happening is now it becomes more us versus them. And the only thing I'll say to you, Bart, from my perspective as a middle-aged white guy, is I just feel like as we keep trying to say heal wounds and learn to work together and understand that things do need to change, mindsets need to change, attitudes need to change, how we handle situations need to change. All that has to change, and we want it to. A lot of people all agree this has got to change. LeBron doing that kind of keeps putting out the message of, nope, can't change, won't change, can't trust anybody. And there is definitely context with this situation, as you certainly know from yourself watching the video.
Yeah, and you know, I was outraged at first when I heard that someone had passed away and it was a young black girl and shot by the police. And then you watch the video and you understand that, you know, this was not the same thing. This was not an unarmed traffic stop. This was reacting and responding to a call for distress. And at the point where the officer gets out, I don't know really what's expected to do. I understand and kind of listening to the news and listening to experts speak that cops aren't trained to shoot in foot, shoot in legs. They're taught this if they pull their gun, to use it with deadly force. I mean, that's just the way that they're trained. Maybe that's a deeper conversation that we have to have as far as how do we teach them how to injure and not to pull their weapon to kill or to, you know, stop, right? But at the point where the officer's coming and he's getting out of his car, what you can see on the video, his body cam, is you witness a woman on the ground fighting another woman that is then kicked by a man as he's walking towards the young lady who has a woman in pink pinned up against a car. And at the point where he pulls his weapon and tells her to put it down, she's drawing a knife. Looks like a butcher knife, not some small short knife. Looks like a house butcher knife. And how she has it aimed is if she's about to stab this young lady in either her face or her neck, which we know could be deadly because the juggler is there. And he had to make a decision because the victim at that point was not the young lady with the knife, but the young lady that was on the other side of the knife. So he shot, and unfortunately the young lady lost her life. But how would you feel if you were that young lady's mother in the pink who was about to get stabbed, who didn't have a weapon and was defenseless? You would feel grateful. So sometimes a tragedy is just a tragedy. We can't lump all these things together. And what LeBron is saying is it's important that he gather all the facts. And listen, LeBron has been outstanding at gathering the facts. Remember he said before, I do my research. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, this time he didn't do his research. But what I don't need from the other side is for you to point, because what happens is it forces the third text or tweet from LeBron, which seems like he's trying to defend what his comments were. When all LeBron had to say was, listen, I was wrong. I just heard it and I reacted. I understand me as LeBron with probably 10 million, 20 million followers.
Right.
I have to do a better job in giving you the information, because when I say something, you guys don't go off and do your own research. You take that as gospel. So that can be dangerous and deadly, especially putting out a picture of the officer when we know that people can find their address and start and maybe cause harm to not only that officer, but to the family of that officer. So listen, I call a strike a strike. And at this point, LeBron was wrong, but I don't need to double down from the other side. I think when you think about the rhetoric and say, hey, LeBron made a mistake, get the facts right, you can't come off his chest side, because what happens is on the other side, and that's what happens back and forth, defense mechanism. If this side is wrong, then it's all the outrage. And then on the other side, then it's like, see, I told you, how can we do this? You're wrong. No, come together, say, hey, I messed up. It's okay. You're human, LeBron. And you've been the most perfect thing that we've had in any athlete ever. Like, you've been an outstanding citizen, right? And if this is your first little hiccup, we forgive you, LeBron. It's okay. But you don't have to try and double down on it. You just want accountability. You want justice, because I feel like the right thing was done. This is a tragedy, but I don't think this was an overuse of a weapon. Because for everybody there, they said, why couldn't he grab him? From my standpoint, he was about, I see everything in yards. He was about 5 to 6 yards away, so he couldn't grab her. He couldn't pull out him. The taser ain't long enough. You got to be closer for a taser. He had a guy that was kicking a kid or kicking a woman in the face to the right of him, and if he doesn't pull that trigger, that young lady is stabbed in the face or stabbed in the neck. He didn't know that young girl was 16 years old.
Bottom line, it's a tragedy, right? And that's obviously what we lose focus on, because we just start arguing with each other about what was right and what was wrong about it. What it was a chaotic scene. And it ended in a tragedy one way or another. It seemed like it was heading in that direction. And just unfortunately, though, because we're so heightened by what's happening here,
that have a deadly weapon,
the reactions
out.
Happen. Now, again, LeBron James, as you mentioned, he has almost 50 million followers on Twitter alone. And on Instagram, he probably has way more. And so, you know, understand what he does say, his words, they carry weight with a lot of people. And that's why there's a responsibility to what he says and to make sure that he understands everything that's going on before he does make a comment on something that is this obviously polarizing. Yeah. And I think that was what was important. So he deletes the tweet, which is the right thing to do, tries to explain himself, right thing to do. But the most important part is to continue to push the idea of we have a lot more work to do, and we all know that. And the fact that we have to keep talking about it, that part is important. But it's so easy for us to quickly just start shouting at each other who's wrong and who's right. But even after this, people want to now attack LeBron.
Like, come on, man.
You know, and I understand the Fraternal Order of Police and why they put that tweet out. And I have to admit, what they said in the tweet was right.
Yeah, I mean, but like,
that was LeBron, right. What they said is not wrong.
Yeah, LeBron was wrong for the first time, and I can think of almost ever. Like, I think we understand where LeBron's intentions are coming from, right, and what he's trying to accomplish and how he's trying to use his voice.
Let him be the example of the guy, though, that will hold himself accountable in that moment and say, you know what, no, I shouldn't have done that. Let me delete that. That was not right. I need to be better.
He said, educate yourself and facts matter, right? Context matters. Like, it's good to get all the information. And a couple of weeks ago, like I said, when he was talking to the other soccer player that questioned politics and sports, he said, hey, bro, I come prepared. This time he didn't come prepared. And you can tell by the grammar errors and the misspelling that he was probably rushed. He was rushed. He was emotional. And sometimes we all regret things when we do it, when we're in our feelings. And LeBron probably wished he could have stepped back, saw the video before he commented on it, instead of trying to rush to judgment.
Yeah, all right. That's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. We are brought to you by
– now, that's another thing.
My Computer Career Training for a Better Life. You know what? We can mention Brett Favre. I know we have a few minutes left in the show. We can mention
Brett
also
to go back
Brett Favre.
Tree stand.
Yeah, I kind of feel like, though, even that was taken out of context, too, if I may. But more to discuss. Your calls as well. Barton Hahn, we'll finish up the show again with your calls and a few more thoughts. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the Bart and Hahn Show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, Bart in the hoodie. Kind of like that on you, though, today. It's like oatmeal-ish.
I didn't realize how cold it was.
Yeah, all of a sudden, we got one little reminder of winter.
What happened to all the sunlight?
Yeah, that's exactly what we were missing. I have that somewhere, don't I?
Don't worry, we only got 35 seconds.
Yeah, the board's turned off anyway. Seconds. Oh, well. Hey, it's Bart and Hahn. We're brought to you by Mortal Kombat.
Get over here.
Finish him.
I would be
see it in theaters on
HBO Max.
There's
only one black
Max.
Guy in Mortal Kombat. Never mind. There's only one black guy. Can't get two. Can't get two.
But what are some of the other characters? We don't even know what they are.
Yes, I do.
You do?
Well, you got Liu Kang.
Asian.
Yeah. Well, you know. Yeah, okay.
You got Raiden.
Yeah. What is Raiden?
Holy.
But that.
You would say Asian because he's like big trouble.
What is Sub-Zero?
He's white.
How do you know he's white?
He's definitely a white guy.
He's not even human.
Sub-Zero's got to be white. Nobody but white people like the cold weather, like you, which is typical, which is 66 degrees in
here. For the record, Bart put it up to 69 in the studio, and that's why I'm not right today. I'm not right today, and I can feel it.
69,
I blame you.
Boys.
Again, see it on HBO Max this Friday, rated. If you missed any part of the show, you can always find both hours of Bart and Hahn posted daily as a podcast, available wherever you listen to podcasts. So I have 2 days to enjoy this. Tomorrow I'm going to fill in on KJZ with Keyshawn, and I'm definitely going to just make him miserable.
Should give him a tip shirt, and you should give him that one.
I should give him a
don't
tip
even
shirt.
Wash it. Armpit juice and all. Take that.
You're the worst. All right, so we got one more day for the week tomorrow, and then we're getting into draft week next week. Bart, it's going to be so much fun. I will see you tomorrow.
Holla.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Hahn podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Hahn weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN Plus. Bart and Hahn, the podcast.